know there is so much power inside of you? You have the power to make an impact on the planet and the people around you just by believing in yourself. You get to decide how today, this year, this life is going to go. Are you feeding your old bad habits, or are you feeding your power? What's up, big dreamers? Your lady, Vitamin Katie, is here, and you are listening to my Feed Your Power podcast. I am a registered dietitian and fitness instructor, and my mission is to empower you to feel confident and excited about your health and your life. I know we're about to have so much fun together, so thank you for pressing play, and let's begin. Listening to this podcast is pretty close to going to therapy. My incredible therapist, multidimensional angel friend, Angela, shares the most insightful, impactful, supportive wisdom on this podcast. We dive so deep. Both of us get pretty vulnerable talking about our personal pain points and how we're working through those. So, wow, you are going to get a lot out of this. Yeah. Speaking with people who are aware, therapists like Angela, not only is she a therapist, yes, she has a master's with a specialization in psychological trauma. She's also a certified love, sex, and relationship coach. And we do dive into sexuality and being embodied. So that was really fun to talk about. I'm excited for you to listen to that. She's also certified in strategic intervention life coaching. She's a certified massage therapist and health educator, certified registered yoga teacher, Reiki level 2. Oh my gosh, she's done so many things between Landmark, Vipassana, domestic violence and sexual assault survivor advocacy, at Peace Over Violence. Angela is the epitome of an angel. Like, I don't know how to describe her. Sure, those were some certifications, some things, but really she is so far beyond that. Her energy, just, you'll feel it. You'll feel it through our chat together. I'm excited to hear what you get from this. All right, enjoy. I'm so excited to talk with you today, my dear angel of a human friend. Thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited. Oh, okay. There's a lot that we're going to uncover and unwrap today, I'm sure. But starting broad, I would just love to hear, what has inspired you? What has allowed you to be such a force of healing in so many different modalities?
Oh, such a nice question. It's cheesy, but honestly, what comes to mind is my mom. You know, my mom's a naturopathic doctor, and so being raised with natural foods, and she's like a wild and free dancer, like always the life of the party, you know? And she's so kind, and she did Reiki, and I grew up getting massages from her, and she would like, yeah, it could go into a spiritual place as well, but also very grounded and scientific. And it just really, yeah, being raised in that way, it felt like such a sweet bubble of the world, you know?
Yeah. That
health is possible. Happiness is possible. And then I grew up like, I want to carry that. I want to pass that on. I want to learn all the tools. And
yeah. Wow. This is so beautiful to hear. I feel like I've been in a mindset that's totally valid too, this mindset of contrast, right? That we need to go through something hard. We need to go through something terrible to want to be healthy, you know, or to want to be a light in the world. But actually, I like the saying, you can be enlightened or frightened into health. And it sounds like you were enlightened rather than frightened. Yeah. Gosh. Yeah. So what's your favorite? What have you been absolutely loving lately? You do so many different types of healing modalities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's my favorite lately? I'm doing a lot of therapy, talk therapy. And I also would say, even though I'm just talking with people, it still feels like energetic work. It still feels like energy medicine. I often feel my hands kind of lighting up with Reiki energy, even when I'm on Zoom with a client. So I realized that just viewing the world through kind of an energy medicine lens serves my work, because I imagine when people come to me and they're like, I'm unmotivated and I hate my body, or I'm struggling in my relationship because I do a lot of individual as well as couples counseling. I honestly view myself kind of like a plumber. Like it feels very basic where I'm thinking, okay, health and happiness and joy is always possible. We don't even have to work towards that. It's more, okay, what's in the way? What's clogging the pipe? Mm-hmm. And so she's helping people learn to express and find themselves and find, do they need to feel their anger? Do they need to feel their sadness? You know, do they need to like liberate their body? Do they need to start speaking some truth to their romantic partner? And then joy and health, I find just comes pretty effortlessly, and it's just very exciting.
That is not a normal thing, I would say, though, for a therapist to say that your hands feel Reiki energy through the Zoom call. Could you speak more to that? What is that like? What is that about?
Yeah, what's that like? It. So a practice I often am guiding clients in is body resourcing. So even when we're going through crisis and everything is terrible, or if clients are even saying they want to kill themselves, like they're just really dysregulated, if I can have them feel safe enough to close their eyes and breathe and scan their body and find even one place that feels good, even one place that feels neutral. And maybe at first they say nothing, nothing, and their mind's going towards my back hurts and my neck hurts and this is bad and this is bad. And I say, okay. And then I kind of start naming random areas, like, how about your forearms? And they're like, oh, my forearms are fine. I'm like, yeah, how about your shins? And they're like, oh yeah, those are fine. And so realizing that when we're in pain, we often are only paying attention to the pain spots, but there are other areas in our body offering support. And what I find, to answer your question, is as I'm guiding them in their body, I'm also just kind of effortlessly going inside my body, and my hands are always just glowing with warmth. Like they just feel so much light energy, so much care. Or sometimes if I'm guiding someone in something, my hands are just kind of doing something on their own. I'm not consciously doing it, but it's just kind of my hands are just guiding the energy to kind of dig in deeper or move the energy aside or honor and hold the pain. You know, I just feel they're wow. kind of doing their own thing, but full of love and warmth.
Wow. Oh my goodness, Angela, this is a lot. You deal with very intense situations, you know, people suicidal, mm-hmm. people going through these different relationship trials and troubles. And thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing. I think that's a beautiful nervous system regulation that we can all use. Just mm-hmm. doing a body scan. It's like, okay, this is bothering me. Wait, what's actually working right now? I love that. I want to practice that.
It's so helpful. I want to just say, in case people listen to this and do want to practice, once you find an area that feels good or neutral, then I invite the client to sink into that place, to imagine moving their consciousness, which we often imagine is in our brain and behind our eyes, and imagine moving that sense down into whatever area feels good. I imagine for myself almost like sinking into it like a swimming pool, or being held in it like a hammock, and just breathing there and being there for a moment, you know, just really finding like, okay, this is a safe place in the midst of everything. And then the practice can continue where then you breathe into it and help that energy grow, and you can help that energy come up to the areas that really feel in pain. And I've had clients just have incredible results, heal PTSD. Some of them so tortured by their own mind, unable to eat, unable to dance, unable to communicate with their children. And then after practicing this and just really finding, whoa, the energy healing is inside of them. One practice is called pendulation. So you kind of pendulate between the resource, the good, and the pain, and the good and the pain. And you go back and forth until it becomes neutral. Just a very helpful healing practice for trauma, because often we're avoiding the pain. We want to avoid it, look away, distract. That's too scary. But first finding, okay, you have a place of safety. You have an anchor. Now go towards the pain and spend some time there. When it becomes too much, okay, go back to the anchor, which is within you, which is also very important, rather than so often we need it from someone else or something outside of ourselves. But being able to find the safety within, that's a tool they can carry forever.
I couldn't love this more. Thank you for sharing this. Thank you so much for sharing this. Do you happen to have a specific story that you might be willing to share of, I know you've had so many clients and so many incredible results with lots of different healing practices. Do any come to mind by chance with this particular thing of like really not being willing to sit with some pain and then moving through it? It'd be nice
Yeah.
to kind of see how this relates in a specific story.
Yeah, that makes sense. I like that question. Two things come to mind, and I don't quite have permission from the clients in this moment to share, so I'm going to make it quite
Totally.
vague. One client, she came and she had just been exiting a very abusive relationship, a few years of a marriage where she has a child with that person, and yeah, became narcissistic abuse, just very gaslighting as well as physical abuse, you know, strangled, pushed against a wall, pushed downstairs, like very scary abuse. And unfortunately, you know, that human was very charming, very charismatic. And so no one around this client believed her or trusted her. And so that was a struggle to get out. And she came to me just absolutely dysregulated, her body feeling awful, her nervous system feeling fried, completely frazzled, exhausted all the time. Hard to be a mother to her three children, hard to go to work, you know, hard to feed herself, her appetite completely gone. And she just kept saying in the beginning, I just want to feel like myself again. I just, you know, she's very interested in health, exercising, natural eating, and everything. And she just was saying, okay, no matter how many healthy things I'm doing for myself, it's not making a difference. I need to stop feeling so frazzled. And so through doing this work, and at first it was starting so gentle, just finding any place of peace in herself. And then she really liked to take baths, so I would have her imagine getting to bathe in that goodness. And she's also a spiritual woman, so calling in anything that works for people, whatever works for them, having her just imagine getting to bathe in that light and in that love and let it like soak in like honey. And that very quickly started soothing her nervous system, and she would come back to sessions so excited, like, let's do it again. Let's do more. I'm ready to dive in. That was so fun, the excitement. And then
Wow.
doing that pendulation, because running into a lot of uncomfortable feelings, both from the abusive marriage as well as childhood trauma, all of that. But from just her connecting with her body, within 6 months, she was eating great, dancing, singing, able to navigate confronting relationships with her ex. And she was the one that kind of said, you know, I'm feeling really good. I feel like I'm ready to go on my own again. I'm ready to kind of graduate. You
Thank
know?
you. Yeah. So using this practice of like this bath, this is a visual of her, like a safe space in her body. Like this is safe. This is loving. Like really cultivating this safety. Oh my gosh.
Absolutely.
That is so beautiful.
It's and I just want to name it is that sense of safety, and it's the conscious practice of relaxing your muscles into safety. So it was the conscious practice of surrendering. So even though she was just laying down in her bed, imagining herself in the bathtub and consciously surrendering to that safe water and letting it soak in her body, because that's often the body when we're in a trauma response is tightening. The chronic muscle tension is a threat response, is I'm not safe, I need to effort. And so it's necessary for us to live a healthy life to have moments where we can let it all go, where we can melt and soften with ourselves and allow anything that needs to move through. So sure, she surrenders into that safe bathtub, and then crying happens. And that's necessary, you know, or maybe anger arises, and that's necessary. Feel safe enough with yourself to let anything come up.
Oof, my heart, Angela. This, I want to have it land for everybody the absolute importance of this. I work with a lot of cancer patients. I work with a lot of, like, supposedly terminally ill autoimmune disease patients, right? And it's not because they're just eating McDonald's every day. It's usually stemming from something like this, some chronic nervous system dysregulation and the inability to hold that, right? And to find a safe place within themselves. Of course, this dis-ease is manifesting, right? And I love connecting with you about this, right? That if there's a death in the loved one, it's no surprise that there's a heart issue. You know, like when I have a patient say, oh, it's such a pain in the neck, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden I have a pain in my neck. I'm like, well, that's hilarious. Like, hello. So backing up to what you were saying though, in regards to the importance of this, it's crazy how in our society, I just want to make it really, really crystal clear. Personally, I thought it was productive to run away from these feelings. I've always thought it was productive to be like, oh, feeling rejected, feeling lonely. Well, screw that. I'm going to go for a run. I'm going to, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's really, really extra. Like, I almost feel like I could cry hearing you speak, because I just wish that a younger version of myself had this type of wisdom and tools. And I'm so grateful for you now. But yeah, the capacity to be feeling pain and allowing it, and allowing it to be like, okay, yes, I feel this and I'm safe and I don't need to fight or flight, like run away, get rid of it, get mad at myself about it. Having all of this like kind of negative self-talk around it, it can actually be held and safe in my body. Could everyone take a second to breathe into how nourishing and nurturing that is and that feels? Like, thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. Can I speak to something you just said, a few things?
Sure.
Yeah. Beautiful. And I know I love getting to know you over these years and see you also expand in your capacity to feel things. Yet I also know Katie Medicine, you know, Katie Medicine, your medicine is also dance and joy and motivation and positivity. And while sometimes that can be running away and bypassing, I also think that that is a very powerful resource, because it is a dance. The pendulation is important. We're not also meant to just only look at our pain all the time and only sit with it all of the time and only stay in bed or in the bathtub all the time. Our body also would form a disease if we only stay there. So I think it's also important to balance that with sometimes distraction is healthy. Watch a comedy, laugh, cook some food, dance in the kitchen with your friends, you know, play a game. Remember that life is also joy and light. We're not only in the heaviness. But I think that if we can detect, okay, there's heaviness that wants to be tended to, and I've been turning away from it too long, then I do find it's helpful to sit with it. You know, if you're at work all day and you can feel that there's like something dragging you down, then yeah, probably that night go home and be with it. So then there's a sense of release. And it depends on how much work we've done, because if we haven't done any work on ourselves, then maybe there's 30 years or more of unprocessed pain, and that's going to take a while. And I then recommend someone holding space. But if you've cleaned your pipes, then maybe you only need to sit with it for 15 minutes, maybe an hour, you know?
Wow.
So that's one part. Second part is, I heard you in that saying, you know, how to, yes, hold it and be nurturing to it rather than shaming yourself. But also a trick in that is sometimes shame is going to be there and negative talk is going to be there. And how do we love that as well? How do we take out any sense of the word, not this, no, not that, and just love that too, and that too, and that too, and that too, you know? Like, I'm sad and I'm mad that I'm sad and I'm being judgmental and then I'm shaming myself for being judgmental, and just love all the layers. All of them are allowed.
Yeah, that reminds me of the story of the Buddha becoming Buddha. Like, hello, shame. Come in, have tea with me. Like, hello. Just having that awareness of what it is. And then we can have a more loving, a more empowering perspective around it. And what you're speaking to really reminds me of my teaching with, because I'm everybody I work with, whether they're disordered eating, really, really underweight or obese, heart disease, we're trying to come to this balance point of indulgence and discipline, right? So it's kind of like what you're saying, like, let's come to this balance point of really feeling into our darkness, you know, our pain points, and really feeling into our joy. Can we come to a balance point? And as much as we would all like to have a recipe for success every single day, just do this, this, that, this, this, that, that's not how it is, right? Our bodies are ever changing. There's always going to be fluctuations in what we're experiencing. So it's going to be an important practice of this awareness is what I teach. And it sounds like you teach as well, and like holding space for that and seeing, okay, what can we do to move forward from here? And this is making me think, okay, Angela, you hold so much space for so many people and so many friends like me. And so how do you source yourself? How do you regulate yourself? Do you have like daily practices that are non-negotiables for you, or?
I, over the years, have tried daily practices that are non-negotiable, and none of those stick for too long. Maybe someday I will, but I tend to be a bit more flowy than like an absolute strict daily routine. But I'd say weekly for sure. Going to the gym feels really good. That helps my energy a lot, and that helps my muscles a lot, so I don't get migraines. Eating well, drinking water, staying socially connected. And then I do sit at my altar most evenings and some mornings to just really ground in with myself. And I can often then feel really connected to my own wisdom, and nuggets come through of what I need. I also really like to journal in the mornings. So that's my own version of having a conversation with myself and just getting to kind of brain dump of whatever's coming up and move it along. That very much helps. So if I'm in any kind of heavy place, journaling is usually the most helpful for me.
Oh, yeah. I love journaling. And it's not like you said anything crazy. You know, you're not paying thousands of dollars to make sure that these are, it almost seems too easy, but really, are people, yeah, eating a balanced meal, most meals, right? Going to move their body, like making these things a priority to really force yourself. Oh, yeah.
But I would also say, apologize for interrupting.
Oh, no. I'm just glad to hear that you are sourcing yourself and you do have ways, because yeah, it makes me nervous. I'm like, oh my gosh, how is this woman pouring so much heart and energy into so many things and so many people all the time? I can only imagine, right? How necessary, how absolutely necessary it is to fill your own cup, like really, really making that a priority.
Yeah. So in that, I want to add that I have done therapy or coaching, and as well as, you know, even the schooling for therapy was therapeutic. Schooling for coaching has been therapeutic. So I've done a lot of focused work, and I feel at a good place where I feel like I've been chipping away at that bigger ball of the iceberg, you know, as well as plant medicine ceremonies and things. So I've done bigger work that allows my daily practices, they can be smaller. But there, of course, have been times where it does feel like a lot to be holding space for a lot of people. And that's where more recent journey has been boundaries and finding I do need to protect my energy. I can't give my energy to everyone and be everyone's best friend and talk to everyone for 2 hours a night. Like, I love being that. But then, oh, I really struggle with my own health or my own finances or this or that. And so learning to balance that.
Which is tough as somebody who's such a being of light, right? As such a being of love, like really, really, I know you to your core, you want to be loving and empathetic and there, like really there for everyone on planet Earth, like literally. So setting those boundaries must be tough. Do you happen to have any, I have a lot of questions I want to ask you, but if you happen to have any advice for yourself even around setting boundaries.
Wow, advice for myself in setting boundaries. That's interesting. Kind of ride the wave of intense discomfort. It can be intensely uncomfortable to set a boundary, especially when people are upset with the boundary. That's hard. It's much easier when someone's like, got it. Thank you for taking care of yourself. I get that you need that. Go for it. Yay for you. I'm like, thank you. But then if someone's so upset, so hurt, so not understanding where I'm coming from, that's definitely very hard. And that has me pull into, oh no, am I doing something wrong? So I guess the nugget there is I'm not doing something wrong by needing to set a boundary. That doesn't mean that I'm not being loving, even if I'm not giving all of my energy to someone else, you know? And I, over these years, have been more trusting that what is most loving and honoring of our needs is also most loving to the other. It prevents codependence to say, this is what I need, and I also need you to stand on your own. And so we can care for each other, but not have it be so unbalanced. Because when I'm overgiving, that can create dependency from other people.
Wow, that's really good. That's super strong advice. I feel that. I wasn't expecting you to say that. I thought you were going to say something like, well, it's their problem if they're upset, you know, like that's not, but yeah, you're right. You're actually doing them a huge solid by saying, you know, communicating like, hey, nothing against you. I need to take care of myself. And then they get the opportunity to source themselves for a minute. And
find that, which I find maybe in that first moment is uncomfortable. But I think ultimately we all feel better when we have our own sense of safety within ourselves. And so if we've been outsourcing that for too long, of course it's going to feel uncomfortable to lose. But ultimately, it just feels so much better to feel stable and feel okay in ourselves, right? And then it's creating a culture of, it's okay for people to set boundaries around me. If I'm allowed to say no, that means you're allowed to say no. If I'm allowed to take care of myself, you're allowed to take care of yourself, right?
Totally. Oh, I love it. I love that so much. And it's so nice. Like, you don't want to build resentment. You don't want to go do things or have people, you don't want to have people answer the phone who are like, oh, I don't have energy for this, right? That just doesn't feel good on either end.
Yes. So. And I've made those mistakes for many years.
Me too. Yeah, I think this is a very important discussion to share, right? We want to be there for so many people, but it really starts with ourselves, right? Oh, thank you for sharing that. A little bit off the track we've been trucking along on, but I do want to inquire about your tantra training. Yeah. Could you please explain this? This is very mystical to me.
Yes. So it was the Layla Martin certification. It's called VITA, like Vital Integrated Tantric Approach. And it was a year-long training, kind of 2 years, because she gives you an extra year because it's so thick of information and so powerful, so powerful, so potent. How to even explain it? So tantra is huge, right? I mean, that's just, it's thousands of years old. It means to weave. And so it's really, it's so enormous. Like all of what we know to be yoga, hatha yoga, this and that, all comes under the umbrella of tantra. And tantra now in modern day, like neo-tantra, is associated with sexuality, but tantra in a whole isn't just about sexuality. It's so much more. But this training did specifically focus on sexuality. And it was through a lot of breath work, a lot of integrating. Imagine integrating the shadow and the light. Layla Martin described that the reason she went towards this is she found that there's a lot of stuck energy in the shadow and in the taboo. So she thought, okay, how can we help enhance humanity? Let's go towards something that's so shadowy, so inappropriate. Nobody talks about it. Sex, you know, let's talk about it. Let's go towards it. And I, 5 years ago, would have never imagined myself to take this program or feel comfortable talking about it. And now it really is so liberating, and I feel so much more confident and whole in myself having explored these parts. And again, sexuality is just energy. It is absolutely just energy and aliveness and creative and can become self-expression. So being able to consciously tap into sexuality and direct that energy wherever you want it to go, whether that's healing yourself or healing a relationship or directing it towards a goal in your life. Mm-hmm. It is potent. And maybe what I'm saying isn't even clear at all, because it's like, it's so much. I feel free to ask more questions.
Yeah. Oh, God. Well, I think that people may not realize, at least my food freedom and body image clients who are really struggling with, the relationship with food. It's like, where these struggles really arise is in the bedroom. You know, you wouldn't really think. It's like, oh, yeah, I love myself. Oh, yeah, amazing. And our sex education was quite faltered. It's like a lot of us feel a lot of shame and weirdness around all sexuality, really. It feels very too much, too little, right? What the heck? You know, or how are we supposed to learn how to feel really embodied and really confident and really sexy in in those areas? Yeah, it feels like it's just sad even hearing you say, oh, it's so taboo. Oh, it's so like, why? It's what makes us human. We're so primal. Like, it's what differentiates us from AI is our creative capacity. Like, we're literally designed to birth a soul into the universe with this sexual energy. Like, I would just love to hear more about maybe the kind of solution that this provides for people, this like training that you went through. Is it this embodiment? Is it yeah, anything further that you can speak to it? I think it's really needed.
Yeah, absolutely. Going off of what you're saying, because I think for so many people, both men and women and all genders, sexuality can bring up this anxiety of performance, both of how you're supposed to look, but also what you're supposed to be able to do and how you're supposed to make the other person feel. Or I often work with women around this. And so it's like women thinking they have to be something so special. But again, is it too much, too little? Be enough of a slut, but not too much, you know? Have this, and so many people I know like lose their sex drive once they're in a committed relationship. And I think that there's a lot to it, because often women especially are trained that their sexuality is for their partner, is for someone else. And a lot of the people I work with, it can be religious shame around it, that sex is bad. And so it's so bad. It's so bad. Don't touch yourself. Don't masturbate. Don't have those thoughts. But then the minute you're married, be incredible at sex and you owe your husband sex. Like, this is your duty. And so I have many clients that do that out of obligation, and they're not tuning into their own body's yes and no. So absolutely, I find sexuality so about embodiment, that the body speaks in profound ways, and we have to learn how to listen and discern what it's saying and not touch your body until it's a yes, or for a woman, not entering the body till it's a yes, or how, like what pace, what type. Like, there is so much more variety than what we realize when we often just think of sex as basic penetration, basic postures, and there's so much more. So helping people get out of performance, out of their head, of what they should be looking like and the sounds they should be making, the way they should be moving their body, and instead absolutely dropping into their body and surrendering to, how does my body want to move? How can I kind of get out of the way and just experience the bliss and the release? And so much is about sounding. Can you breathe maybe into your pelvis and then make sounds? What is the sound of your pelvis? And can you let it feel unsexy, untraditionally sexy? You know, can you growl? Can you make gross noises? Can you whimper? Can you cry? Like, can you actually let out that primal? Because that's where the healing comes. That's where the energy comes. That's where the magic of intimacy. Like, sex at its best is that magical spark of, whoa, what just happened? Like, wow, that was so organic. That was so fresh, right? And that comes when you get out of the way. And that's going to be a practice, because our brains, especially in our culture, are so used to being in control. So I find breath work helps to relax the front of the brain, as well as just communicating with yourself if you're alone, with your partner. Communicating, wait, pause, I'm in my head. Okay, let's reconnect, you know, but that's very vulnerable. It can feel very vulnerable to let yourself actually be seen and what you're experiencing in that moment. But that's where the magic is. That's where the heart opens. That's where your body might want to do things you've never done. And it's so energizing. It's so healing.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Is anyone else like, ooh, hearing? Ooh,
tell me what's coming up.
It's hot. I love it. Yeah. Primal noises, just like let yourself go, like let yourself be embodied. And like, yeah, it's music to my ears, because honestly, I have a lot of resistance to what you're saying. I'm like, oh God, that is scary.
Resistance, yes.
Yeah, that's scary. My resistance. It's like, oh, I mean, I have a lot of resistance towards admitting that I really deeply love someone. Like, that is vulnerable. That is so vulnerable. And like really holding that and standing in that, rather than it just totally dysregulating my nervous system, being like, no, I'm solid in myself in this feeling.
Yes. Like, I also say being able to hold yourself, like when you say it's so vulnerable to share if you really love someone, following that to be, what's the worst fear? Is it that scary because they might say it back and that's what scares you the most? Are you that scared because they won't say it and you'll feel rejected? Maybe both. And can you then practice loving yourself even in that worst case? Can you still be there with yourself regardless of what happens? Because when you can, then it's so liberating to just express what's inside of you. It feels so much better to just express it and let yourself be rejected. Let yourself, whatever it is, because then things keep moving versus living withheld, living like, time moves differently when you just let it arise, you express, you see what happens, and then you keep going.
And this is so, this is so spot on for the bedroom too. It's like, yeah, make a weird growling noise. Like, yeah, maybe you have bad BO or whatever. I don't know. I'm always like worried about what I smell like.
Sure.
These things, it's like, don't we want the people closest to us to see our all colors of us, like all flavors, all versions, and still like us? Like, wouldn't we want that?
Yeah. And I find that sexual energy can be such a resource. Like it can be, that's why I think a lot of people do plant medicine and psychedelics, because it increases the energy in our body and it increases the sense of being resourced in wisdom and in love or in excitement. Sexuality does the same thing. So if you're really turned on, you can feel more energized as your best self and more able to show up for your partner if they become very triggered. Of course, it can be tricky where one person's trigger becomes the other person's trigger. So you got to work that out. But if one of you is able to stay resourced, those moments can be so healing, because the rawness of sexuality also allows in, like you're more open to really let that love penetrate and let this be a new corrective experience. And I want to be clear that the sexuality I'm talking about isn't just like be so wild and loud and all over the place. It means let it be organic. What could be wild is also being so still, like being so still, so quiet, so tender, rather than needing for it to like look the one way, like, ooh, sexy college girl style, you know? Like it can be anything. It could be one thing, and then midway it wants to become something else. It's just continuously tuning in and noticing, are you letting yourself express what is real and alive right now, rather than your mind telling you what it should be?
Oh, this is hot. This is hot. I love this permission. I love the permission for it to be any way. Oh, it's so freaking gorgeous and juicy and beautiful.
That's life energy, right? You're allowed to be any way. Any moment's allowed to be any way. Like this conversation can be anything we want it to be.
Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, amen. I love this. I had a thought and it flew out of my brain, but I'm excited to hopefully it comes back in. Are you going with this? Oh, okay. I remember. So just like you were saying with the practice of the pendulum, right? And like coming to a safe space. I feel like in Tantra practice that you're talking about and really witnessing yourself being okay with dropping in your body and whatever you're aware of and like really wanting, yes or no, this feels to me like a beautiful, absolute, perfect opportunity to kind of find your edge. Like in relationship, letting yourself be exposed to maybe a pain point or a,
yes,
I don't know if you want to anything around that you want to expand on, or
would love to. Yeah, because that was a main practice we learned in the training. So one of the things that we do is you think of a goal you have. It could be any kind of goal, but let's say it's a sexual goal. And so you're saying, okay, I want to be able to like have a profound orgasm with my partner. We've been together and I haven't been able to do that. So then the practice is to imagine that moment and do it with your five senses to get all of the areas of the brain online. What are you seeing in that moment? What are you touching in that moment? What are you smelling and tasting and hearing in that moment? Like make it as full capacity of a vision. And then, so I often have a client say that to me, and then I write it all down. And then I have the client kind of let go and just surrender. And I read that vision back to them. And most often, nearly every time, their body goes, no, You know? And so it's like they want it so bad, but actually it produces fear. And I'm like, perfect, excellent. That's the point. What arises? What's standing in the way? Because you want this so much, but you don't have it yet. So let's look at maybe what part of you isn't letting you have it yet. And then we do a whole integrative pendulation process with that. So maybe it's the throat and it has its own thing to say, but of course at basic, it's like, what's the throat afraid to express, or the stomach, or the this or the that? Something's gonna arise. So it's absolutely finding that edge and honoring exactly where you are, never blowing yourself with the water, overwhelming, but just introducing that goal, that light, and letting that highlight the shadow.
Who's absolutely benefiting from this? Like, I really want to see people's comments, because this is the most valuable information. People being able to expand their nervous system to actually attain what they most want in this life.
Like, practice it. Like, it's like lifting weights, you know? It's like, deal with the discomfort, yeah. Confront it. Mm-hmm.
God, I feel like kind of a hypocrite too, because I'm the one interviewing you. I'm sharing this incredible wisdom. Meanwhile, I have yet to master this myself. Like, I really do. It's quite a practice for me, even being aware of the no that's coming up for me. Like, it just feels like the water I'm swimming in. It's yes. Hard to really grasp for me.
Definitely, yeah.
To be able to even find that edge and notice where I'm, it's so.
Of course. But I think that's why it can be helpful to do this in conversation with someone, whether it's a friend or a professional space holder, because the person listening to you will be able to see, whoa, Katie, you're lighting up. You clearly want this. And part of the initial practice is, okay, what else do you want? What else do you want? What do you really want? Tell me what you want. What do you desire? What do you dream of? And like hone in and find something that absolutely lights you up. Get you to then make that vision full and then give that back to you. And if I were holding space for you, we would do it in such an organized way that would help it, rather than just kind of resistance is vague and the water you swim in an organized process, then it's like, oh, there it is. Mm. It's very clear.
Wow. Cool. Oh, thank you. Yeah. And thank you so much. This is so incredible. And just hearing you speak, I do really like to speak to that. We're both incredible transformational professionals, right? And I do think that there's a feeling that I feel, that I've been actually feeling a lot lately, of this, that I actually just spoke to it, this pressure that we might put on yourselves. Maybe you relate. Where, okay, here I am with all of these tools. I know all of the things, right? I've helped so many people. Mm-hmm. And for you to really continue to walk the walk and continue to be as powerful as you are, like, I love hearing your practices for centering yourself. Mm-hmm. We are human. We also come up against, pain points, challenges, whatever it is in this life, similar, just as all humans, you know, similar to the people that we might be helping. And I'm curious to hear if there's a pain point that you might be willing to share. I know this might be kind of vulnerable, but if there's anything that you're practicing with yourself that you're noticing, oh my gosh, like, this is where I'm finding my edges, and this is what I'm moving through, and allowing that to make you an even more qualified professional, rather than feeling like you need to personally, I would think like I'm perfect, you know, I've got my nutrition dialed in all the time. I'm curious if there's anything coming up for you there.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's beautiful and so important for you to share. So important for you to share, to just kind of shatter the pedestal, right? Like, we're all human. Yeah. So humbling, and it's beautiful for you to even share right now. Like, that's confronting. Fantastic. Like, we're always going to be confronted. We're always going to have edges, and learning and accepting that rather than resisting it. I totally understand. I will answer your question, because that's beautiful. And it's a nice edgy invitation. I would say, in a big scale way, the past 2 years, I've been really confronting needing to sit with the feeling of loneliness so hardcore since a big breakup. And most of my life, my identity has been to be a good friend, like the best friend. But moving and breaking up and all these friends getting married and everyone da da da. And it's just felt like, oh my gosh, such incredible aloneness. And so that's absolutely expanded my nervous system capacity. And while I don't think that, I mean, we are tribal creatures, I don't think we're meant to do it all alone. And I have had people around, but at times it's felt horrible, you know, just horribly painful, like icy cold, sharp, heavy, horribly heartbreaking. And interesting to like be dealing with a heartbreak and feel heartbroken to not be surrounded by friends, to not have people around to hold me, pet my hair, like let me cry in their lap, you know? And those practices were intense, where it brought up old childhood trauma and childhood thoughts of wanting to kill myself, not wanting to live, like just like aching pain. And a lot of those times when the pain was that intense, I would sit in front of the mirror with myself. So I was able to make eye contact and just be so committed to myself. Like, we are here. I love you no matter what. I love you in all of your sadness. You're allowed to be as sad as you need to be, and we're not going anywhere. Like, we're not killing ourselves. We're not escaping. I'm right here. That was deeply healing because I've been so sensitive most of my life, and I felt a lot of shame around how much I feel and how much I perceive of others and how much I care, and then how sensitive I can be, like if I get my feelings hurt, and sometimes my feelings being so intense and feeling like no one understands, no one gets it. And that feeling like, oh no, I can't handle this. Like I should leave, like I should leave this planet. And I don't know, it just does feel like I've healed deep, deep, deep layers with just allowing myself to be that sad and not resist it and not make it wrong and just be like, I'm absolutely here for all of this. So I'd say that's a big scale of a pain point I've been sitting with, that then it does feel like something has shifted, which is wonderful. My mental health used to be more spiky, often really happy and really joyous. But then if I felt disconnected from friends, it would plummet and be really sharp and really low. And there would be self-hatred. And I struggled to give myself compassion, and then high, 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 and then low. And now it hasn't been that way these last few years. It does feel like, who knows what's gonna happen in life. But lately it has not had those sharp lows or that spiraling downward. It feels to me like because I'm allowing myself to give myself compassion, I'm allowing whatever my humanity, I'm allowing it all to come up. That's okay. I'm not gonna, but again, shame can be tricky. So shame might come up, but I'm just definitely very grateful to not have had as many shame spirals and spikes, because that's so hard to sit with. But yet it's also beautiful now to sit with clients with it and to just be like, I'm not afraid of your darkness. I'm not afraid of your low, low. I've been there, I get it. And I know that it's possible to get out of it, even when it feels so sticky and feels like that sadness is going to last forever. I promise you can go there. And when they're like, but I'm going to be crushed, I'm going to be suffocated, I'm going to drown. And I'm like, I get it. I'm right there. You can breathe. You can breathe through it. So I know that's a big answer. That's one answer. I'd like to say a second answer that also in this current moment in my life, I'm moving in with a friend. And that's feeling amazing after these years of feeling so isolated and alone. Like, I'm so excited to have friendship and community around. And it's been really interesting to feel the fear coming up of that and old conditioning of, oh my gosh, fear of getting kind of lost or feeling small again. Like that role I played in my family or other friendships of always being the small one and the easygoing one and the follower. And I've worked so hard to now have my own back and have a voice and have boundaries. And so moving in with someone, I felt all of that old fear of what if I kind of get lost and disappear in it again. And that's been cool to sit with and to just also remember, I am allowed to have a voice. I'm allowed to assert myself. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Angela. Yeah, that was vulnerable and open. And it's really, really neat to hear how you're saying your capacity to move through these vulnerabilities, these pain points with yourself really, really clearly do make you an even more powerful practitioner, right? You're mm-hmm. not sitting there like, oh, don't feel that way. You know, your mm-hmm. capacity to see yourself and hold yourself and practice this pendulating experience with yourself, like letting it be okay to be happy. Right? Mm-hmm. Like letting it be okay to be lonely. I'm fascinated, you know, you having this confidence that you're not going to get stuck there, right?
Yeah.
It's really, really neat to hear. Yeah, you're definitely more qualified than anyone being able to like work on this yourself. And a lot of, I actually have a particular patient in mind who really, is convinced that she's gonna die soon, right? I mean, she's fine, but yeah, anyways, she doesn't wanna communicate how she's going, like what she's going through with her friends or her family, because she thinks it'll be too much for
Yeah.
people to hold.
Yeah.
And it's really a reflection of her being able to hold it within herself.
Yeah. I would say yes, and because sometimes the people around us aren't good at holding that and can say things that are really unhelpful and hurtful. And so sometimes the deep vulnerability does deserve protection, and does deserve discernment of, okay, who's actually going to be able to hold this, or who's going to say really bad advice that's going to just make it feel worse, or who is going to be like, no, don't do that. And you're like, thank you. That sucks. To be
Oh.
honest, I do think there is a spectrum of capacity. Even when people really love us, that's also an element of it. It doesn't mean that they don't love us or they don't care. It just probably means more about how do they show up for their own sadness.
Yeah, and this is a huge like the arrow coming back to me. Like, you've known me for long enough that I was not willing to sit with any sadness or any pain. Like, and my friends obviously wouldn't come to me for advice or for crying and for any empathy. I was the last person that my friends would probably come to, because I'm just like, nope, can't handle this. Which is something that I've been still like, it's still something that I'm aware of and I'm working through, and I'm having compassion for myself around based on a lot of different conditionings that I've been brought up with. It's not exactly like I'm faltered or I'm like crazy narcissistic or anything. I really, yeah, I'm really so grateful for you and yeah, your willingness and your space holding and your, yeah, having being such an incredible mirror for me.
Yes. I'm so grateful for you also. I'm so grateful for you and your love and your openness, your honesty, transparency, and your joy, your silliness. I'm so grateful whenever I can dance with you, cook with you, laugh with you, longboard with you. Like, I also need that and love that. So I don't want you to overlook the strengths that you are and the medicine you bring.
Thank you. Yeah, it's cool working through this. Like, it actually is. I've gone to a point where it is really authentic to be grateful a lot of the times. Like, it's not like this spiritual bypassing. And yeah, I think a lot of people are afraid to get stuck in these feelings of grief and these feelings of shame. And they're like, I don't want to feel that. And I don't want to get stuck in these feelings either. It's like, if I open that door, is it going to ever be able to close? And if I'm feeling happy when I should be feeling grief, there's all this kind of like
Yes.
talk around it. Like, is this okay to be feeling grateful and happy even though this just happened? Like, what's the deal?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting to be able to like hold all of that and be like, you know what? Actually.
Yeah. It feels like, I think that's just a part of the process. And again, I only know what I know up to this point. There's so much that's going to happen in my life that I don't know. So I don't know. Like, everyone listen to this with a grain of salt. I'm just speaking from my current perspective, and that absolutely could change in the future. I'll look at myself like, oh, you didn't even know. But from where I am right now, it feels like, yeah, I'm more comfortable navigating that terrain because I've been there and had those feelings. And it feels like you just get more used to knowing what to do when. What tool is helpful when? Okay, do I need a bath right now? Do I need the gym right now? Do I need to sit by the river right now? Do I need to call a friend right now? Do I need to cry right now? Do I need to dance right now? Like, just you get more used to the energy, I find. And I do have a core belief that we are all love, that ultimately it's all love. And that really helps because then I know I'll never get stuck. It's like my sadness is also a form of love. My fear is a form of love. The anger is a form of love. So just sitting with it long enough for it to alchemize back into its pure form.
Boom. The core belief, it is all love. Oh, yeah, that is some profound wisdom, profound words right there. Thank you so much, Angela. Is there anything that you really wanted to touch on? Any tips, any tools, anything that
No, this was great. This was even better than I thought it would be. I love it. Great to sit with you,
Oh,
Katie.
I'm so grateful. Well, how can people get in touch with you, experience your wisdom more? Tell us about your podcast.
I know. This new podcast I have called You Amaze Me. It's not out yet, but in a few months it's going to come out where I just get to interview people like Katie that absolutely inspire me. I have a website just Ange listens, A-N-G listens.com. I have a social media, but I don't really use it right now. So I'd say the website and the podcast are the best ways right now. My Instagram is Ange the Spange, my childhood nickname. Angethespange.
Yes, Angela Spange. Everyone, I'm gonna put her details linked down below. Send her a DM, let her know how incredible she is and how transformative this conversation was for you. And then, as a closing thought, I like to ask my guests here, how do you feed your power? How do you feed your empowerment?
With clarity, sitting with myself and getting clarity.
Clarity. Clarity is so kind. Oh, that's beautiful. Wow, thank you so much, Anne. This is amazing. I love you so much.
You. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. If you got anything out of this, please let me know at vitamin.katie on Instagram. Please do rate this, give it a thumbs up, rate this 5 stars if you liked it. I would love to help more people out there, and those positive ratings really do help. And happy new year. I hope you're able to relax and hold yourself in whatever is going on. You are not alone. Sending so much love. Thank you for listening. You are absolutely incredible. Okay. Happy new year. Much love.
Thank you for dedicating time to improve your health and your life by listening to this podcast. If you are interested in holistic health and nutritional counseling, click the link in my bio to apply. Don't forget to screenshot this and tag me at vitamin.katie on your Instagram story, subscribe to this podcast, and leave a review to get this message out there to help more people. Thanks again so much for listening. And have a beautiful, wonderful, incredible life. Much love to you. Bye.